Hello, everybody. I'm Darrell O'Neill, and I'm an alcoholic. You guys can leave if Jerry's not going to be here. I had to fill in for him, so anybody wants to leave can leave. I won't be feeling hurt too much. Jerry's a great guy, and he's a wonderful speaker, and he's very witty, and I mean, he's just got a tremendous amount of wit. I tell him all the time he's full of wit, but and Jerry and I go back a long way. I remember when we used to call him Jerry the Hat. And he's come a long way, as I have in this program. But tonight, I feel honored that I get to speak out here. And I came into this club, and I will tell you the honest truth, that this club is a real nice, friendly place. I have been to other clubs that, I mean, I don't go back to them, you know, and I have been out here a few times, and each time I come, I'm welcome, and that's what this program is all about. That's what this fellowship is all about. We all have one common thing. We couldn't drink successfully. I could drink, but not successfully. So I am honored to be here tonight. And again, like I said, Jerry asked me, and I really felt, I said, whoa, he heard me do the steps also at another club in town. And he said, he came up to me last week and asked me if I would do the steps, and I figured, whoa, he might have liked what I had to say, you know. Then I got to thinking about it, you know, my ego and got built up there, and I said, whoa, he really liked what I had to say. Well, it probably was that he couldn't get anybody else. So I gained a little humility there. But we're going to talk about step two tonight, and what I do is I like to go through step two and explain it as I understand it. Okay, but before I do that, I want to tell you two more things, maybe three, I don't know. But one of them is that I told you I was an alcoholic. And the reason I know I'm an alcoholic is on page 44 in the big book, it tells me. It says, this is chapter 4, We Agnostics, and it says in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. I didn't need those 12 questions and 48 questions and 693 questions. I only needed these two for me. See, I are probably an alcoholic, and it tells me right here. The other thing I want to tell you is that my sobriety date is December 17th, 1979. And I tell you that for a few reasons. One reason is that I tell people in these rooms so they know that this program works, that I have not had a drink in over 15 years. But it's you people who kept me sober. I didn't keep me sober. I couldn't keep me sober. And I believe in a power greater than myself today. We're going to talk about that. That's one of the reasons I tell you. The other reason is I used to go to speaker meetings and I'd meet people at meetings and things and wonder how much time they had. And I never, you know, that was a big question I always had. So I tell people for that reason. And the other reason, I forget, so it's not important. But, see, I can blame that on alcoholism, too. I have brain damage, you know. Anyway, we're going to talk about step two. Step two says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, when Bill wrote these 12 steps, he wrote it a little bit differently, but the first 100 decided that they were going to put it as a group rather than as a singular person. And what he wrote in his 12 steps, in the original 12 steps, was something like this. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. See, he wrote in the singular. But when he wrote these steps, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of people in recovery then. And they didn't have a big book, and they didn't have a 12 and 12 to go by. But they decided that it would be better. You know, the first 5 1/3 chapters of the big book are dedicated to the first two steps? That's a lot of pages for two steps. Evidently, Bill thought that these were very important steps. And I'm sure you had a heck of a time going through step one with Jerry. Yeah, I'm sure you did. I mean, he is such a great guy and a great speaker. Anyway, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I'm the kind of a person that knows what a word means, but if you ask me to explain it to you, I couldn't do that. Sanity. You know what insanity is? By a law's definition, is such unsoundness of mind as affects legal responsibility or capacity, extreme folly or foolhardiness. Right? Sanity is soundness of mind, mental normality, and soundness of judgment. Okay, I only raised my hand about halfway because I'm an alcoholic. And I, you know, that's a great excuse. It really is. I use that all the time. Don't blame me, I'm an alcoholic. Bill wrote that gaining true humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. And this step is about that. In order to gain humility and believe in a power greater than myself, I have to have an open mind. That's all it takes. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I was kind of closed-minded. I had all the answers. Nobody, no one could tell me anything. Even if I didn't know what I was talking about, I would argue with it. And you know, sometimes I'd win. Verbal arguments. Physical arguments, I lost all the time. I can't tell you how many times my little Fanny got kicked. I don't ever believe I won a fight, sober or drunk. There's a lot of people in these rooms today who have a concept of a higher power, a power greater than themselves. And it's a personal concept. And that's okay, because it works for you. And that's what's so wonderful about this step. You don't have to use my higher power, and I don't have to use your higher power. Now, in organized religion, if you go into a particular church, everybody's got the same higher power. And it's in another book. And they go by that book. And that's fine for them. But for me today, a power greater than myself is all I need to rely on. And we can call him anything or her anything we want. There's no definition for us. God, as I understood him, past tense. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I understood God. And I believed God would take care of me. I remember seeing a picture of... Now, understand, I am not thumping a Bible. I am not telling anybody anything. I'm just telling you from me. I remember seeing a picture of God with a little lamb, or Jesus with a little lamb sitting next to him, and having a couple of kids on his knee. And I always thought that was such a wonderful picture. You know? That's the way I understood God growing up. When I started drinking, I turned my back on my God. And it took me a long time to find him again. They talk about different types of the people who don't believe. And the first one is, he says he won't believe. The person who will not believe. The belligerent one. Oop, back to the dictionary. I know what belligerent means because I was belligerent. But the dictionary says it's warlike, aggressively hostile. Whoa. Those are powerful words. Today, people use words like love, you know. I mean, they kick it around like it's nothing. I mean, it's just another word. Friend. He's my friend. That's because you know the guy or the lady, whatever. What's a friend? Friends are in these rooms. There are friends here who I haven't met yet. And I believe that. But out there, I'm not too sure. Now, during this little talk that I'm going to give, I have a sense of humor. I was born in New Jersey. Okay? And I have kind of like a Yankee sense of humor. And sometimes it comes across as belligerent or arrogant, and believe me, I don't wish to hurt anyone's feelings, but every time I think I'm making a joke, okay, and I don't get any response out of anybody, I'm going to raise my hand so you know it's a joke and it really didn't mean anything to, you know, I didn't mean anything by it, all right? So I'll go along, and as I make these wisecracks, because I was a wise guy, we'll talk a little, or, you know, I'll give you the sign, so you'll know to laugh, like kind of like an applause sign or something. All right? Anyway, they're talking about the belligerent guy. And what Bill says in here is he is in a state of mind which can be described only as savage. You know, I only get through the first couple of pages because I have so many stories. When I got sober up in Jersey, I came down here and I asked a fellow to be my sponsor, and he had mentioned to me, he says, you seem awfully angry. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I don't feel angry. But I was. I really was angry inside because I hadn't done a fourth step. I was full of resentments and I was just pissed off at the world. So I had shared this in this little Monday night or a Thursday night meeting down in Mandarin, you know, and I said to my sponsor, you know, we ought to have another meeting out here in Mandarin. And I said, how about Monday night? And this is how the Amethyst group, the Monday night meeting, got started. He said, good, do it. So he actually started the meeting. I only got the place and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, he started the meeting because he told me to do it. And the guys I had shared it with are all wonderful, wonderful people. A lot of them live out here. Some of them live out here at the beach now. And what they named the Amethyst group in the beginning was the Angry Man group. And it was named after me. So I guess I was the belligerent one, you know. State of mind which can be described only as savage. And I can identify with that savage. His whole philosophy in life, in which he so gloried, is threatened. Because I have to believe in something that I don't want to believe in here in order to stay sober. I took that first step. But now I'm going to have to do things that I don't want to do. Now, I don't know about anybody else in this room. If anybody has skipped through these steps, please take me aside after the meeting and let me know how you did it. I mean, joyfully went through them. I fought these things tooth and nail all the way. I was not happy to be sober. It's bad enough, he thinks, to admit alcohol has him down for keeps. But now, still smarting from that admission, he is faced with something really impossible. I have to believe in something other than myself. Now, of course, my best thinking and doing got me here. You know, I did some embarrassing things when I drank. Now, I'm not going to tell you my fourth step here or do a fifth step with you guys, but you probably know kind of what I'm talking about, you know? Like messing yourself, you know? That's not an enjoyable thing. Didn't stop me from drinking, though. I was just uncomfortable. You know? The dry heaves. Now, there's something, I like the dry heaves today because I never get them. You know, that's when your butthole comes out your throat and your eyes are about 12 inches out in front of your face and nothing comes up. Now, my friend Ernie, I imagine a lot of you folks know Ernie. He's from New Jersey, too. And Ernie has a tremendous amount of simplistic wisdom. He doesn't say a lot when people ask him a question, you know. But he says, new people coming in, he says, you know, you remember how it tasted going down? Remember how it tastes coming up. That's powerful. Yeah. Ernie's got over 30 years in AA. And somebody asked him one time, hey, Ernie, how did you get 30 years in AA? And he said, don't drink and don't die. You know? Wow. But I guess that's how you get it. Of course, that's only, I like to think of those kind of things as a comet. You know, that's the front of the comet. But there's a whole lot more behind it that you have to do besides not drinking and not dying. Anyway, I had to believe in a power greater than myself. And I didn't think there was one around. Anywhere. Because I was so successful. I like reading this. At this juncture, the AA sponsor usually laughs. It hurts. I mean, there's a guy sitting there, here you are trying to really be serious and everything, and this guy laughs at you. And I have found today that AA is laughing. It's laughing at ourselves, being able to handle that. You know? We were funny. We were sick, but we were funny. Today. Because I don't have to do that anymore. And I can stand in these rooms and tell people what kind of a drunk I was and what kind of a dummy I was and the stupid things I said and did. And we can all laugh about it because I don't have to do them today. I don't. But what it tells me in here, step two is the beginning of the end of my old life. All I have to do is accept a power greater than myself. And they go on to tell you in here three things that are needed in step two. One is Alcoholics Anonymous does not demand that you believe anything. Right there, Bill wrote that. All of its 12 steps are but suggestions. Okay, I like that first part. You don't have to believe in anything. And the 12 steps are only suggestions. Those suggestions are like, you know, if you're jumping out of an airplane with a parachute, they suggest you pull the ripcord. Okay? Those are those kind of suggestions. My first sponsor didn't suggest anything to me. He told me what to do, but I needed to be told what to do. I was incapable of doing anything honest. And it wasn't my fault, because I was an alcoholic. See? But my first sponsor gave me a little card, and it said, "Don't drink, dummy, call someone." That's pretty right to the point. He knew who I was, because he wrote my name down there. He said, "Don't drink, dummy." I mean, he wrote my name right there. And on the back, he wrote, "No event, no excuse, and no reason." Now think about that. No event, no excuse, and no reason. How could I go to him with alcohol on my breath and try to explain something to him? He wasn't going to listen. And so when I talk to people, or when I see people with a big book, I write in that big book, or in their 12 and 12 or whatever, "Don't drink, dummy, call someone." And I put my name down there and my number. And then I write, "Remember, no event, no excuse, and no reason. So you can't call me and tell me why you drank. Because I told you there's none." He had me. He had me. But it worked. It really did. Okay, that was the first one. Don't have to believe in anything, and suggested 12 steps. To get sober and to stay sober, you don't have to swallow all of step 2 right now. Whoa! And this, he goes on to say, looking back, he took it piecemeal himself. Third, all you really need is a truly open mind. That's all I needed, was an open mind. Well, to get my mind open, folks, you needed a drill, about 12 sticks of dynamite with a fuse and a match. And you might have started opening it. You know, my mind was like a steel trap. I didn't have an open mind. I had opinions on things I didn't even know about yet. I had them all. Open mind. Listen. Believe what is told to you in these rooms and by these people and by this book. Because, you know, this book and this book, I could argue with one author, you know, and I was good at that. I was real good at arguing. I thought I was real good at it. I was always drunk. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But I could argue with one or two people. I can't argue with a couple, 3 million people who have used this and gotten sober. I can't stand there and tell you you're wrong and I'm right anymore. And not believe it. I mean, I can't argue with that and believe it. There's no way. I could argue with it. But deep down inside, I know I'm wrong. I was not a conformist when it came to things like this. But I could not argue with the results of sobriety. So all of these million people, 2 million people, however many people got sober, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our steps, our suggested steps. there's a contradiction there somewhere, and I'm not sure. I think what I believe is that Bill was saying to us that you don't have to do them all at once. You can do them piecemeal. But eventually, these steps will integrate your life and become part of you. As the old life dies, the new life begins. But it's here in step two that we have to decide. And now we have to start taking action. We have to start doing something. You see, when I drank, I used to sit in a bar on a stool and dream all these dreams. But nothing ever happened, because I never got off the stool long enough to do anything but go to the bathroom or throw up. Or pour myself into a bed. See, today I have to take an action. I have to get down and dirty with my higher power sometimes. I get angry, and we go to Duke City sometimes. I told you I never want to fight. And today I'll sit there and argue with them until the pain is so great that I have to do something about it. Just like getting into a fight, a fist fight. Somebody's out there kicking my butt, and I won't yell uncle until I hurt bad enough. Okay, where are we here? The beginning and the end of the old life. Three things needed in step two. An open mind. Just resign from the debating society and quit bothering yourself with such deep questions as whether it was the hen or the egg that came first. Makes sense to me today. Again, I say, all you need is the open mind. All I have to do today is be open and listen and not be real argumentative. Is that right? Argumentative? Take, for example, my own case. This is a sponsor talking to his sponsee. I had scientific schooling. Naturally, I respected, venerated, even worshipped. As a matter of fact, I still do, all except the worship part. Time after time, my instructors held up to me the basic principle of all scientific progress. Search and research again and again. Always with the open mind. When I first looked at AA, my reaction was just like yours. This AA business, I thought, is totally unscientific. This I can't swallow. I simply won't consider such nonsense. Then I woke up, and I had to admit it, that AA showed results, prodigious results. Oop, dictionary time. Prodigious, extraordinary, enormous, immense, astounding, wondrous. I saw that my attitude regarding these had been anything but scientific. Closed mind. Alcoholic. It wasn't AA that had the closed mind, it was me. The minute I stopped arguing, I could begin to see and feel. Right there, step two gently and very gradually began to infiltrate my life. Step two, open mind, stop arguing, let it happen. That's work, letting something happen. That's action, letting something happen without trying to run it. That's tough for an alcoholic like me to do. I mean, I got to be in there with both feet, both hands, and my mouth going, 100 miles a minute, talking about something I know absolutely nothing about. But I can do it, by golly. To acquire it, I had only to stop fighting and practice the rest of AA's program as enthusiastically as I could. Heard around these rooms, Dave T. in particular, his sponsor asked him, how did you drink? He said, daily. He said, well, if you work the program half as hard as you try to get a drink, you'll probably be very successful at it. It doesn't take a whole lot. It takes a few things, a few good things that I have to be willing to do. And then I can sit back, actually sit back and let things happen. I don't have to do a whole heck of a lot. You know what I have to do? I have to do nothing. That's what I have to do. I have to let this whole world spin by itself. You know, you can look at this life that we have, and you could be positive or negative. And I have seen a lot of negative people in these rooms. No. Take that back. I have seen some negative people in these rooms. I haven't seen a whole lot. And I wouldn't want those people's programs. And I used to say to myself, geez, if I was like that, I'd drink. Well, today I have a different opinion of that. At least that person is sober. Sober. At least that person is not drinking. So that's one less drunk on the road. That's one less hospital bed that would probably have to be filled, or one less jail cell that would be filled, or, you know, all those other things. So let that person be miserable and live their miserable life, and I'll be happy and live my happy life. At least that person's not drinking. And that's important to me today, is that a person doesn't drink. I don't care what their personality is like, what their life is like, or anything else. The most important thing is not to drink. And the rest of the things usually come. They usually come. They tell me, I was told in AA that, you know, the first 5 years is like you lost your marbles before you got here, and it takes you like 5 years to find them. And then it takes another 5 years to put them in your little bag. Well, I don't know. When I passed 10 years, it was not... I still had some out there on the floor somewhere. And I guess I always will. You know, and he goes on to say that AAs tread innumerable paths in their quest for faith. So nobody has... That's what I say. Nobody has to follow me as far as my higher power or belief in a God. All I have to do is trust that something bigger than myself is going to put a little bit of sanity back in my life. You know, the insanity was only the drinking part. Right. Way up there. Put it through the ceiling. Yeah, the insanity was only drinking. Listen, you could take the rum out of a fruitcake, but you still got a fruitcake. All right? And I believe that today. I believe that today. And he goes on to tell me that that's only the tip of the iceberg. The alcohol is only a symptom of the disease. But it's a wonderful life. I got to make a movie with that title, huh? Jeez, I come up with these such brilliant stuff. And then he says, if you don't care for the one I've suggested, whoa, you'll be sure to discover one that suits you. If only you look and listen. Look and listen. Look and listen. Open-mindedness. Don't drink, of course. Before you do these other things, you have to not drink, because it doesn't work when you're drinking or drugging or doing whatever the heck you're doing. You know, that's the first thing. See, like step one is you get out of drinking. Step two now. Okay, so you work step two after step one. You can't like do step two and like put one, you know, make 1-2 and 2-1. You can't do that. I haven't seen it done successfully anyway. I tried it. I mean, and he talks, many a man like you has begun to solve the problem by the method of substitution. You can, if you wish, make AA itself your higher power. They told me that when I got here. I went right to the big guy. I didn't make AA my higher power. I figured, what the heck? Let's start it out. Start it out the way they tell me to do it. See, my sponsor said, if you do what I tell you, you'll stay sober and you'll probably live a happy life. Well, that's true. Of course, I didn't do immediately what he told me to do. He had to get really hurt. You know, I really had to hurt before I would do what he suggested. And he says that if you make the group your higher power for right now, he says there's a very large group of people who have solved their alcohol problem. In this respect, there are certainly a power greater than yourself. So, makes sense. You know, and he talks about the guy who had faith and lost it and didn't want it or something. That's really the most difficult person to find a power greater than themselves. He said it's harder to go back than it is never to have one, never to have a faith, an agnostic. But he goes on and talks all about that. And then he talks about the intellectually self-sufficient person. Says man in here, but I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But he talks about what alcohol did, and he said that the god of intellect displaced the god of our fathers because we were so brilliant. You know, I mean, just, you know, I really believe alcoholics are the smartest people in the world. I really do. That comes from my heart. You know, that's not a joke. I mean, excuse me, look around you. Look at yourself and look what you did to get alcohol and drugs. Okay? Just look what you had to go through to do that. I mean, we were brilliant. My sponsor, I mean, this guy was brilliant. He could have been it's kind of scary to say, but he could have been an Olympic diver. I mean, he was a little guy, wiry, you know, and he was into diving. And alcohol got in the way, and he quit diving. He gave that up. Possibly a medal winner. Nobody will ever know, though. Yeah. That's what alcohol does to us. You know, we don't know how many presidents and doctors and... Well, nobody wants to be a lawyer anyway. Astronauts or anything. Sorry, I forgot. There's no telling what tremendous amounts of talent have been pushed aside because of drinking. But today, you still have that talent. And today you can use it. It doesn't matter if you're 15 years old when you come in here or 65 years old. You still have that talent. Anyway, my sponsor, Ron, I got to know him. Anyway, long story, but that's part of my story. And Ron used to wear a Band-Aid over his eye. And I got to tell you this because I don't want you guys to miss out on this wonderful story. Ron used to wear a Band-Aid over his eye. When he used to go drinking and everything after work, he'd come home and in his car he used to keep a hairbrush. And what he used to do was he used to beat himself up with his hairbrush. So he figured his wife would feel sorry for him that he got into a fight and would think he was, you know, forget about the drinking. Now, see, I'm telling you, we're geniuses, we are. And it made perfect sense to me. You know, absolutely. I mean, I just thought that was a wonderful idea. Too bad I couldn't use it. But one night he was beating himself up with his hairbrush. He even lost the fight with a hairbrush. I never tried that one, but maybe one day I will. I don't know. Come on. Hairbrush would probably kick my butt, too. Anyway, he poked his eye out. He knocked his eye out with the hairbrush, you know. And what he did, well, he didn't quit drinking because of that. I mean, that was intellect. Here's the brilliance. This is where the brilliance of an alcoholic comes into play. Okay, the hairbrush idea was a good deal. Knocking his eye out, that was a bad thing. But he turned it around where it was a benefit, because it was close to the end of his drinking. He couldn't get credit at any of the bars. Nobody would pay him any, give him any drinks or anything, and it was real hard to get a drink. Hey, what did Ron do? He'd walk up to somebody, take his eye out, drop it in her drink. And he'd go, "Oh my gosh, I lost my eye in your drink." And a person would say, "Ooh, take that away." Huh? What do you think? He knew the alcohol would kill any germs. It would clean his glass eye, very sparkling. And he got a drink. Now, is that brilliant or is that brilliant? Huh? Take a negative, turn it into a positive. He said, this meant, of course, that we had substitute negative for positive thinking. He did step two before he even got sober. I didn't realize that. Golly. So he goes on to talk about different types of alcoholics and how all of us can find a power greater than ourselves. People say use a tree. Well, what do dogs do on trees? I don't want to use a tree. It's like using a fire hydrant, you know? I think there's got to be a power greater than myself. There really does. Because I think only by the grace of God could I have gotten into this program. Only by the grace of God could I have stayed as long as I have in this program and gone through what I had to go through. Even today. You heard the announcement today about Tim. Now, Tim goes to our Thursday night meeting, he and his wife. And the baby was born and died that quick. And I went to see that little baby tonight. And it was in a casket this big. And it was a perfect little baby. And you know what I felt in my heart? I felt a tremendous amount of empathy for them. The tremendous loss that they have gone through. But you know what I remember? It says somewhere that God loves little children. You know where that baby is right now? In a better place than I am. And I like where I'm at. And only because of step two can I believe that. I have to believe somebody else is in control. And today, I want somebody else in control. I don't want to be in control. And the other thing he says, instead of praying, "Grant me my wishes," he says, "Thy will be done." And I have to accept that today, or I'll go nuts. I will go absolutely nuts. Whether agnostic, atheist, or former believer, we can stand together on this step. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. And every AA meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. Do you know what Carl Jung said? Jung. He was a great psychologist. He was a doctor, you know. He could prescribe. He was a shrink. And he was a follower, and a student, and also a kind of like a partner. I forget what the hell they call him. But, anyway, he with Freud. Now, Freud believed that sex and everything had something to do with sex. Jung, on the other hand, believed that man had a soul. And Bill wrote Carl Jung a letter on January 23rd, 1961. And he said, the first link in the chain of events, it goes after he talks about the letter. Now, I got this out of Pass It On, the story of Bill Wilson. I wasn't there. The first link in the chain of events that led to the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous. Whoa, dude! The alcoholic. And this is what Jung said. The alcoholic, his craving for alcohol was the equivalent on a low level of the spiritual thirst of our being for wholeness. Expressed in, I don't like this word, medieval language, meaning kind of like, you know, lay person's terms, expressed in medieval language, the union with God. That's interesting. I thought that was really neat. An alcohol in Latin is spiritus, and the same word for the highest religious experience as well as for the most depraved poison is the same word, spiritus, where spirit comes from, alcohol. Now, he goes on to say something that I really don't understand, but it says, the helpful formula, therefore, now this is Jung still in this letter, therefore is spiritus contra spiritum. Got any Latins in here? The only thing I could figure out that spiritus is soul or spirit, meaning alcohol. And contra is against. I know that word. I don't know that word. I found that word out from somebody who knows Latin. And spiritum is spirituality. So, it's alcohol against spirituality. See? So it means alcohol is against our spirituality. It takes our spirituality away. So if we take away the alcohol, maybe we can get our spirituality back. Step two will help us to do that. Now, I love to talk. I'll talk for 3 days. But closing, I would like to tell you that step two is an important step. 5 1/3 chapters are written for the first two steps. So evidently everybody thinks, Bill thought it and so did the first 100, that these are very important steps. Go to your sponsor. Talk to your sponsor if you're having a problem with this. And together you can get through it. You know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, to share a joy is to have twice as much joy. And to share a burden is to have half a burden. So why lug the whole thing around when you can give somebody half of it? Now, the reason I came out here tonight is because I was asked to. I am very grateful that you received me so wonderfully, accepted me into your fellowship out here at the beach, and been so kind. But I want to tell you something. I close with this and all my talks, is that I believe in certain things, okay? We got to that point where I am not thumping a Bible or anything, but I believe in heaven, I have to tell you that, okay? And in the Bible it says there will be gifts laid up in heaven for me when I get there. And I believe I'm going to go to heaven. I'm working on it. okay? When I get there and they say, well, come on in, you know, and I see this big pile of gifts over there. And it's got my name on it, to Daryl from God, you know? And I say, and I am, believe me, I'm not being sacrilegious or anything like that. And I am not, you know, I'm just telling you how I see it. But I see all these gifts over there, and I say, are those all the gifts you spoke about that I would get when I get here? Beloved, let me tell you tonight that this is the answer I do not want to hear. No, those were the gifts I gave you on earth, but you never opened them. Do step two, and you'll have a Christmas every day, because you will have gifts every day. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.